ready to turn right?
Yeah.
Just lost you, wagon! Wow!
Podcast Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. And with me this week, Sunny Hollywood Pooney.
We decided earlier we're going to release a 25-minute version of This is a Kiss Podcast. This is a Kiss Podcast. This is a Kiss Podcast. That's what we're going to say over and over and over.
I don't get the joke. I'm out of the loop myself.
Remember the band we were talking about?
Yeah. My bad. Okay. Woo!
We're an American band.
Oh, my goodness. And right down there is the lovely and beautiful Miss Lee, the goddess of thunder. How you doing?
Hey, everybody. Glad to be back.
Oh, everybody's glad you're back. It is so good to see you guys. We got a few things to talk about. We're going to make sure that we do it all today. And I've got some cool news for you guys. So let's go ahead and get to the news.
Podcast Rock City News.
Still got to get used to mentioning that Sven is on the board tonight doing the all our extra stuff, posting the comments and everything. So Sven, hope you do a good job. I don't want to have to fire you. All right. So today, you know, this is the cool thing. There's been a little bit of Kiss news in the past couple of days, and we were talking about it online together. Sunny and Lee and I have decided that we're going to pool our money together and buy the Kiss catalog.
Yeah, we got about $15 so far.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are we buying it from Universal? I thought Universal owned it.
I thought Universal already owned the thing. So, Sunny, I'm going to go to you for business.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Because you were just on a business podcast.
Yeah. Is that crazy? Like I was on that finance podcast.
I listened to it. So here's the thing. If there's anybody that I know that knows a lot about business, dude, it's you. All right. So here's the thing. Kiss, let's say Kiss owns their music. I don't know that they do. I thought Universal owned it, but let's say they don't. Okay. Let's say Kiss owns it. What do you think a real roundabout number Kiss's music is worth?
Mm-hmm.
The whole catalog.
Yeah, it depends on who buys it. Like, if it's Disney, it's probably worth 10, 20 million, right? Because they're going to put it on all kinds of stuff. If it's Joe Schmo in their basement.
Us.
Right? And they're just going to basically put it on the shelf and own it and be God of the world. And I guess Sam Loomis ain't got 20 million. So that's going to be a problem. So I just... Unless a conglomerate is going to buy it, it's not worth selling, in my opinion.
Right. Like when Michael Jackson bought the Beatles music and all of a sudden it started showing up in Nike commercials and all these other things.
And on iTunes, right? They were trying to stop it off iTunes and all of a sudden it showed up on iTunes.
What did he pay for it? I wonder.
I don't think that was disclosed, but I don't know.
I know it was more than Paul McCartney offered. Because that's what ruined their relationship. That's what ruined their friendship. Hey, everybody that's watching, it's good to see you guys. I just saw somebody says that they just found us and they've been binge watching our episodes. Thanks, man. It's awesome. Lee, what do you think? If you had $20 million, would you buy the Kiss catalog?
Probably. But I don't know what I'd do with it. I guess,
So if you, okay, so this is amazing. Like, I don't really understand all this, but if Kiss sells their catalog, when they play live, do they have to pay the person that owns the catalog?
I wouldn't think so.
No. Because anybody can do a live song. It's the recording that creates a issue, right?
Right.
But, like, if somebody's going to buy it and use it in car commercials and, like, either Sony or Disney or Apple or Google or Amazon, or it's going to have to be somebody huge. I don't see how somebody else can buy this catalog. And why would you sell it to anybody else?
I've heard back in the New York Groove on Good Morning America and Live with Kelly and whoever she's with now. I've heard it like a lot.
But the difference there is they don't own that, right? So Russ Ballard is getting that money.
Right.
So then you're going to, and I just don't see how, I don't think Kiss is stopping their music from being used anywhere, right? So the nice thing about having Zeppelin's music or, you know, Mellencamp's music or Springsteen's music is they probably stop a lot of places from like using their music because they don't want it tainted in some way. They don't want it in the next Herbie movie, or they don't want it in the next Transformers movie. But if somebody like CBS buys it, they buy it to do all that. Mm-hmm. So then at that point, the artist just saying, I'm cashing out and I'm out. And normally when this happens, you usually hear about it. It's been passed on to somebody, and that person doesn't really want to deal with the catalog anymore, because why deal with that? You sell it off, make your money, you're done.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I would think, to me, I think that if Kiss, if Disney's going to buy anything, it's going to be the likeness. You know, to be able to use them, maybe the music too, because without one, you can't use the other, right? Having it,
you can make more cartoons.
Yeah, but you could sell the music and then license the likeness. So you keep making money off of something you already sold. So I'll give you an example of who does that. Nike and Under Armour. A major part of their business is kids' business, but they don't make any clothes. They hire Joe to make all their kids' clothes, and they license the Nike and Under Armour brand to them for a licensing fee. And they don't take a piece of the clothing. And you make money off of whatever the clothing brings you, because Nike doesn't want to be in business to make kids' clothes.
Right. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And basically, okay, so if I read it correctly, all the rest of the off the soundboards are being delayed until we find out what happens with this. So
I still think Universal owns it. So is Universal trying to dump it? Why would Universal dump it?
Yeah, I don't know, but I think that we read that a while ago on our show, you know, that we talked about it. So it's just real interesting, because I'm not really sure where this is going, or if it's even true that they're trying to sell it, right?
Yeah, who knows?
Right.
Okay. All right, so we've talked about that. You guys let us know what you think. Podcast RockCity1.
That's the number one.
At gmail.com.
You were about to take a drink.
Yeah, podcast RockCity1. That's the number one. At gmail.com. Hey, Sonny, I see that you have a Washburn hanging behind you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Remember those?
It's Washburn, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Paul Stanley special.
Wow, I don't have
I got that silver one, too. Remember the silver tone one? I have that one, too.
Yeah. Is that one autographed?
This one?
Yeah.
No, no.
Some of them sold.
Yeah.
Had an autograph on the pick guard.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. Okay, so before we go on to the topic of the week, I wanted to tell you guys, we have started up our Patreon. And if you guys want to get some extra content that you won't be able to get anywhere else, you go to our Patreon, Podcast Rock City. There's a couple of tiers. It's not real expensive. It's going to be cool. As a matter of fact, when we're done today, Lee and Sonny and I are going to go, and we're going to record a 20-minute Kiss fix to put on our Patreon. That's the only place you could get it. And if you want, we've set it up where you can get our Patreon for a whole week free. You can just try it. You don't have to spend a penny. Try it for a week. It doesn't hurt you. It doesn't cost you any money. And it will be cool if you get a chance to see the extra stuff that we're going to put out there. That all being said, it is time to get to the topic of the week.
Podcast Rock City, topic of the week.
I I want to say ahead of time, you know, because I always say it at the end, but I always want, there's always a ton of you guys here watching the show live, and I want you to know I really appreciate it. We really appreciate it. It's cool that you're here. If you're listening live or watching live or listening on the podcast, thank you. It always is awesome. 10 years in, and you guys still like the product that we're putting out. We really do appreciate it. All right. So I was thinking about it the other day, and I was like, I had an idea of what I thought were the best back-to-back Kiss records. I'll mention that in a little while. But I thought, I bet most people think it's these two. Destroyer, and then Rock and Roll Over. So, and Lee is giggling because she's ready to go at Sonny. I don't know. So here's the thing. Thanks, Rex. We love you too. Sonny, when it comes to back-to-back records, do you think that Kiss has a lot of good back-to-back records, or do you think it's just a couple?
To me, they have a lot of them because I like a lot of the catalog. And there's not that many true duds for me. So to me, there's a lot of them, but yeah, you know, most people are going to go to the four originals. Personally, that's not where I believe the best back-to-back records are, and I'll tell you why later. But yeah, I think there's a lot of back-to-backs.
You feel the same way, Lee?
There's a few, yeah. I mean, back in the day when they used to come out every 6 months and everything with an album, that was awesome. But yeah, I can think of a few that I would say.
Yeah.
Because you could say the same thing about the first six Van Halen records.
True.
Same thing you could say about the first six. Back-to-back, take any back-to-back in those six, and they're great.
But you don't think that there's any that – you don't think there's any two that, like, just that's it. That's the thing right there.
For Van Halen?
No, for Kiss.
Oh. Not in the original six to me.
Okay. Lee – so let's just go ahead and ask Lee, your ideal Kiss back-to-back releases, what are they?
Well, my first choice is what you showed, because Destroyer is my favorite album, and I love Rock and Roll Over, so I had to go Destroyer, Rock and Roll Over, but I also love Rock and Roll Over and Love Gun, so that was kind of difficult.
So which though do you choose? You pick Destroyer.
Yeah, I'd have to pick. That's what I'd have to pick. But I love the first three albums also. Of course, I love all the original stuff. Sonny.
Right. That was jabbing. Sonny, what two records back-to-back do you think are the best?
And I'm not taking anything from the original four. I know. I think the all six original records are great, right? And a lot of people will end up at either Destroyer, Rock and Roll Over, or Rock and Roll Over, Love Gun. Because they're the biggest on the planet at the time. I'm an underdog guy. I like it when somebody's down in the dumps and they got to fight their way back. And there's different competition. They have to adapt to new competition and still come out winning somehow. Right. So yeah, there's Super Bowl teams out there that should have won the Super Bowl because they had great teams. Give me a Super Bowl winner that nobody saw coming. Those are great teams, and nobody knew about it. So to me, when they're down and they've got tons of competition on MTV, on the radio, on the road, in album sales, they've got members that are stepping out doing other things, and they still got to kill it somehow. To me, Asylum and Crazy Nights is the back-to-back record that shows that they deserve to be around. It's easy to release the album when you're on top of the world. Dude, they could have shit. Love Gun could be a complete piece of shit and it would have sold because they were on fire.
But it wasn't.
It wasn't. And I'm not saying it is.
Right.
I'm just saying it's harder to do it
right
when you got to fight. and give me an underdog. I do it all the time. I take somebody when I hire somebody for a manager position. Dude, I get applications all the time. I was this at Amazon and blah, 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 Target and blah, 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 Walmart. Give me a person that can really connect with people. I don't care what your background is. You can be one of my managers.
Mm-hmm. Right. What do you think it takes to, like, for a any band, or we could stick with Kiss especially, but if you look at being able to put out a record that is really good and then another one that's really good right after it without, because there's tons of bands that have screwed that up, correct? Yep.
Yes.
Correct.
What do you think it takes? I think everybody's got to be working together or as a team, right?
Yeah. So to me, except for Def Leppard's the only like probably exception to this rule. You can't wait too long. You got to be on the road in between, and you got to be that first album of the two got to be good, which we're assuming it is. You got to be great on the road so that people are looking forward to the next album, right? And you got to get a little bit lucky. You know, it's got to get promoted right. Your record company still got to be behind you, because a lot of the bands that you hear about that didn't get that second album off the ground after they had that big hit, dude, a lot of the times the record company stepped away from them, didn't give them the same push that they might have gotten if the record company sticks around or they do the right thing, right? So there's some luck involved to it too, but, and you know, I think you got to a little bit swallow your pride too, and you can't be too different. Like, you know, some of these artists, and I get it, they're artists, but they're like, okay, well, we've had this, Alice in Chains used to do it. We got this great album. It's out there. Okay, we're going to throw this acoustic album on. I was like, dude, what are you doing?
No.
Oh, it's not about the album sale. It's about, you know, the art. Okay, well then, I guess you're not going to have back-to-back great albums then.
Yeah, true.
Lee, do you think, like, at Destroyer and Rock and Roll Over, those are your back-to-backs, do you think that, okay, so we know that when Destroyer came out, Peter started having all these, like, thoughts of being out on his own, but we still wind up getting a great record out of them right after. But, you know,
several more great records.
And that's true. You know, depending, of course, on who you ask, because it's all opinion driven, which is,
of course,
you know, everybody's got opinions. Do you think that they just, where do you think it kind of fell apart for them to you? Like where it didn't feel like they were a team anymore. Do you ever feel like that happened?
I kind of felt like after Dynasty, of course, that's when I felt it.
Yeah.
I'm just feeling back to when I was in like middle school and going to high school. I just felt something was wrong.
My back-to-back records are Rock and Roll Over and Love Gun. I didn't mention this before. I should have. Rock and Roll Over, Love Gun. To me, those records are, they're hard-hitting. It's almost like Destroyer came out, and that was a polished Kiss, you know? But Rock and Roll Over, they like took a little bit of the polish off. Right? You hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
And then Love Gun, they did a little teeny bit of polishing, but they kind of found their spot, I think.
And then, of course,
by the time Dynasty came out, they put turtle wax all over that shit and put a cape on it and like sparkles.
But I love Dynasty too.
No, I get it. But, you know, so.
Maybe Sven finds the comment, but somebody put a comment up saying, you know, if you really want to do this, you should do makeup and non-makeup.
Okay, right? So, we can do that.
So if I had to choose makeup one because I get to choose both, then I would also choose Rock and Roll Over and Love Gun. Same reasons. Because I give me the back-to-back Kramer versus Ezrin involved in there.
There. Thank you, Sven, for pulling up the Darth Shredder thing. There. That's the comment. I think this topic would work better if you did best makeup and non-makeup back to back. Look, we are never above listening to our viewers ever.
You two give me the non-makeup. Your non-makeup one.
Oh, mine would probably be this may upset some people, but I'm gonna go with Revenge Carnival of Souls. Carnival of Souls. Revenge, they got heavy again. Carnival of Souls, that's just my style of music. I like it. It's darker, it's heavier. Non-makeup. I remember the first time, and to be fair, there are a couple of songs on Revenge that I'm like, I think they're stinkers, but as a whole, the two of those back together, boom, boom, they're great. But Asylum, Crazy Nights, you're right. They're badass. You know, but I want the heavier stuff. Not as much the glammy stuff. Lee, you can think about it.
I mean, if I have to choose, it has to include Revenge. So I'm looking like what's after and what's before it is Hot in the Shade. And I loved Revenge. That was like, but I did love Lick It Up also. So,
There's
I guess
another
I might
two.
Have to go Lick It Up, Animalize maybe.
Animalize. I think what I'm really trying to show here is isn't it interesting that I understand that we're all the Uber fan, you know what I mean? But isn't it interesting that it's harder for us than it seems to do something like this? It's not like, I know that there are bands out there that I like one record and the next one came out and I was like, nope. Like Skid Row put out Slave to the Grind, right? Oh, yeah. I did not enjoy the next record. What was it?
Subhuman Race. But the first two are good, though. The
first two are amazing.
Right. But what I'm talking about, those first two are great.
You were trying to get a trifecta.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, maybe. Spoken like the gambler. But here's the thing for me. I enjoyed the first Skid Row record, but not like I did the second one. The second one, I felt like it blew away out of the water, that first one. If they
really?
Come,
I thought the opposite.
Yeah.
I love both of them, man. They're hard. Yeah. Love them.
Yeah, those first two records are great. You know what? I'm going to bring this up now because it's going to be something that we're going to add into the show. Sonny and I have been talking about this. And next week... I'm gonna start with Sonny, and the week after it's gonna be Lee, and the week after that it'll be Joey. But next week when we come on the show, Sonny is going to give me homework for the week. I am going to listen because here's the thing. I listen to a lot of different music, but so does Sonny. And it's going to be educating Joe. And basically what's gonna happen is Sonny is gonna say, Joe, you got to go and listen to this album for a week and then come back next week and tell us what you think. Sonny, you good for that?
I'm good for that, but do you got Spotify?
I can get it. What does it cost? Like $40 a month or something?
Oh, no, it's like $15, I think.
$15? No, I'm kidding. But we're going to do that next week because I am always, people are always like, what do you listen to, Joe? Kiss. And it's like, I'm not always like that. So I thought that would be fun. We'll talk a little bit about it, you know, in another section of the show. It'll be Educating Joe. We'll do it a little while and see if you guys like it. I don't listen. I guarantee Lee listens to albums. Like, I can tell you this, and this is, I'm about to say something that might have people hanging up. I have never listened to an entire Dio record.
Oh. You're ridiculous.
I have. You ain't missing much.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Come on, will you?
Every album, start at the first one, there's 7 good songs. Go to the next one, it's 6. Go to the next one, it's 5. Go to the next one, it's 2.
Lee's like, I'm not listening.
Dio, best vocalist ever? Come on.
That doesn't mean he can write great songs.
Well, he's got some great songs.
I know that one song.
Holy I figured you knew that one.
Everybody knows that. I'll tell you this. I went on vacation with some friends. And, oh, my God, Heavy Metal Heavy Metal Beer Club said blasphemy.
Exactly. Thank
we're going to change that. I'll listen to a Dio record for a week. We just got to wait.
I even
and you
got to
be honest.
I even like, saw the
I will be honest. I will be honest. You went and saw the hologram
I
show?
I saw the hologram.
Oh.
I saw
Were
Dio,
you happy
of course,
with it?
In real life several times, but it was pretty fun. It was pretty interesting. I liked it. They had, you know, Goldie was playing, and I mean, it was pretty great.
Bretsky says he's never listened to. All right, we're going to get off the subject. I screwed everything up. Like, somebody's like, why? Don't take it personally. We're going to educate me. If you guys want to send me, if you guys want to send me out, if you guys out there are listening or watching and you want to send me a suggestion of a band to listen to, send me a link with your favorite song by that band. I'll check it out. I'm not against it. I will tell you that my record collection upstairs is broad. It is everything from Striper to Lady Gaga. I listen to a lot of music, but I'm not 100%, 1,000,000%, you know, all rock. That's my thing, you know? And all right, so we're going to go away from this now. Let's get back
it's
to Kiss.
Okay, Bretsky, I'll forgive you.
Sonny, do you think that it's possible? I mean, how? So you get bands like Guns N' Roses that put out Appetite, right?
Oh, and then one of the best premiere albums ever.
Right, and then they put out Lies, 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 right? So, but let's take that one out. So it's much easier or for a band to put out back to back great albums, or do you think it's super hard? Is you know.
Oh, it's absolutely difficult. There's, you know, it's not like
Bretsky, I love your, Lady Gaga. I love her.
It's not like practicing your instrument that you get better every time you do it, right? There's, you're putting out art, some hits, some doesn't. Some you love, people don't love. Some you maybe don't love that people absolutely love. And now you got to do it the rest of your life, right? But to land that and then try to go figure out the formula again when the recipe that you were using, you were just kind of making up as you go along and you didn't write any of the shit down. Like, you don't know how you got where you got to. Right. So I think it's 100% difficult. Guns N' Roses to me is one of the most overrated bands in history. I love that first album. I can't put together 12 songs I love after that first album. So it's just, I don't know. They're a good example of, they just kind of got like almost prog and started doing weird stuff. And I'm like, dude, can you just do it so easy? Like, I just want 500 of those. Like, I don't want anything else different. Right. But I think the other part is, and Kiss has dealt with this, is I'm a fan that I listen to X band, I don't want them veering too far off of their sound. If I want a different sound, I will listen to a different band. But then I also don't order hot dogs at an Italian place, right? So it's just, you get what I'm saying? Like, but that's me.
What about AC/DC with the exact same sound every album, but I still love it? Like,
I don't mind it.
That's
I just
the most one that has exactly the same sound. Like,
and there's
hear.
Some AC/DC that I enjoy, and some I honestly just haven't heard that much. But I will tell
that
you, the more I listen to, the more I listen to Bon Scott ACD, the more I love Bon Scott ACD.
Yes, that stuff's
more than the newer AC/DC.
Yep, agreed. Really? We agreed.
Holy
but there's bands
shit.
I listen to. But there's two bands. I'll tell you, there's two bands I listen to that every time I listen to them, I like them less. Mm-mm. Judas Priest, Twisted Sister. Every time I hear a song from those two bands, I like them less and less and less as I'm getting older.
Oh boy. So you're talking about even the albums that you loved, or you're
those
talking
are the
about
only,
the new stuff that comes out you love?
The only songs that I loved hearing from those guys, I can tolerate. Every time somebody comes to me and says, hey, you got to go try this, I'll go try it. And I'm like, God, I like these guys less and less.
Oh,
like, this is really bad.
Let me ask you this. So, and this is part of what I wanted to talk about. The fact that Kiss put out the solo albums, right? And Ace was basically hoarding songs, right? He was writing songs that he was not going to give to Kiss. Mm-hmm. And do you think that if you take a couple of those songs off of Ace's record, right, solo record, and put them on Love Gun, do you think that Destroyer, Rock and Roll Over, Love Gun become legendary back to back to back?
They're already legendary.
But I mean, like, you don't think so?
I don't think so. I think they're, like Lee said, they're already legendary.
Yeah.
The fan base that they have. If you're thinking that Ace Frehley's vocal and songwriting is going to help you with mass appeal, oh, you are pushing it.
But at okay? the time,
and
right,
I
at the time.
Love oh, his, Ace.
Oh, his solo album is amazing.
Yeah, I love Ace. It really is. But it ain't made for mass appeal. Okay, so there were nothing Ace was going to write for his solo album is really going to make Love Gun any better. Love Gun's great. Right? And yeah, you can say there's songs I don't love on Love Gun, and if they were different, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, fine. But it's not going to sell another million albums. Here's my thought is, you know, yes, Peter and Ace, you know, whether they were hoarding albums or songs, whether they were thinking they were going to go make it out on their own, ultimately, it's their fault. And however they handled their business and whatever splinters were happening, everybody who's in the band is somewhat at fault, right? Because you got four people that are in a relationship together. I think what happens is there's somebody in Peter's ear. There is somebody in Ace's ear going, you know, you could do this by yourself. You don't need those two guys. Those two guys are assholes to you anyway. They keep taking the beer out of your hand. You could make it to where you never have not a beer in your hand. You could have two beers in your hand. Right? Like, so you get somebody that's like yakking in your ear. That's hard to shut up, to be honest.
I'm sure there was a lot of it.
Yeah. And all those people have bad intentions normally, right? Because they're trying to get their guy to go be whatever so they can be somebody. I love Ace's solo album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, this is kind of one of those subjects where you start in one spot and you wind up all over the place, you know, because it does. We are talking about something so unique as a back-to-back record. Let me ask you this, though. So Kiss, we've all agreed that as far as rock and roll goes, Kiss has had a bunch of back-to-back really great albums.
Yeah.
Why do you think that they never caught on like a Bon Jovi? Why do you think that? Is it because they were the makeup band? I mean, but even in the 70s, they weren't selling 10 million. Was anybody? I don't really know. But, you know, Fleetwood Mac was selling tons of
Eagles.
Copies. Eagles. Why wasn't Kiss when Destroyer came out?
Well, they weren't played on the radio much, were they?
That's
remember,
a good
remember
point,
that
too.
Whole thing where they were, where the Kiss Army went and circled with Bill Starkey?
Yeah,
the radio.
That, you know, that's a good point, you know? So to put out back-to-back albums a bunch of times, mm-hmm. and for them to be really good records and not to get 10 million records sold on a record, would that just all be because of radio?
No, I think what ends up happening is you have a gimmick. I'm going to get hate mail for this. I love this band. I love the gimmick. I think the gimmick is amazing. Okay. I'm not saying anything bad about the gimmick, but the gimmick paints you in a corner, right? People love Ghost. Ghost does not have mass appeal. That's just all there is to it. They're never going to be Lady Gaga or Pink or any of these bands right now that are selling stadiums. It's just not going to happen, right? So if you ask people, is Zeppelin serious musicians? You would get a yes. If you ask people, are the Eagles talented musicians and songwriters? You would get a yes. If you ask those same people, are Kiss talented musicians? Are they talented songwriters? You most likely don't always get a yes. They're the face paint guys. So the gimmick paints you into a corner.
They're just not taken seriously.
Yeah.
Right.
But Maiden didn't have diamond albums. Priest doesn't have diamond albums. Scorpions don't have diamond albums.
Is that
these
is
are
that
worldwide? 10
million? 10 million.
Yeah, 10 million.
A diamond.
10 million.
10 yeah. million is a diamond. You know, today it's one of the things. Being a musician myself, and like I own a music store. I teach music. I teach guitar. I have not taught a lot of Kiss songs, right? Because it's too predictable. It's too somebody comes in and they think, oh, this guy's gonna teach Kiss, and then you know I'll teach something else instead, just because it's fun. But like, but when I have sat and just looked at some music and learned the Kiss songs, I mean, you know, it's no less difficult than some bands that have sold or no more.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I have to wonder if a band like Kiss, the popularity they did have was because of the makeup, the music came in sliding into second, and it just happened to be good enough for the fans to go, the band with the makeup without that music, I'm not interested. The music without that makeup, I'm not interested in. Together, it's everything I want. Sonny?
Yeah, I agree with you. And I would say I Stole Your Love and I Can't Get No Satisfaction. Both of those songs, I don't know how to play an instrument, but I'm assuming both those songs are fairly simple to play. Okay? I Can't Get No Satisfaction is a well-known song. I Stole Your Love is not a well-known song. I'm sorry. I love it. But if you ask 100 people on the street, tell me what I Stole Your Love is, they would have no idea. But I Can't Get No Satisfaction, I guarantee you get 20 people that can hum it. Just a random 20.
Right. The same as if you were to say, do you know what Kiss looks like?
That's right. But if you were to tell me what Rolling Stones look like and tell me what Kiss looks like, you probably get more people tell you, oh, Kiss are the face paint guys, right? Then they're like a dragon and there was a kitty cat, I think.
Kitty cat. Paul Stanley could have been the teddy bear.
Oh, jeepers.
You said jeepers. I love that. Jeepers. That's awesome. Well, I was okay. So I did a thing where I did a 20-minute Kiss fix. If you guys don't know what that is, on Wednesday and on Friday, I come live or I come on live. Yikes.
Wow.
On the show. And I got to watch how I say that. I come on the show live and I do 20 minutes
you
in the
said
middle.
It again.
I said I come on the show.
Yeah. Live. Stop.
It sounds please terrible, stop. But I do a show and it's live. And I have a great time hanging out with you guys for 20 minutes or so. And we talk about things. And I did a whole show on Kiss television bootlegs. So basically all the TV stuff, you know, that got released, they put out there's a whole series you can find bootlegs, right? And somebody told me that you got to have the unmasked one. So I went online, I found it and I ordered it and I started watching it today. And as I'm watching it, one of the guys that's talking about the concert, right? He's so freaking bitter. Listen, he's bitter talking about how the band that opened for Kiss, well, they were the wrong band, but they were really good, and he's just gonna say it, and that they were way better than, you know, some of the fans were treating them, and they, you know, the fans were awful, and then all of a sudden he throws in Kiss finally gets on stage and they're below mediocre ability, and I'm like, below mediocre, what does that even mean? It's like, here's the thing, there are people out there that have written and won Grammys on songs that have less ability than Kiss has. I mean, you take four chords, you put words with it, and it either hits home or it doesn't. When obviously it seems like I'm taking this personally, but I think I would say this about most bands. You know, it's I don't think that having to hit somebody there in their ability or how good they are at what they do really defines whether or not a band is good, if that makes sense. You can have your dream theaters, but you can also have your alien ant farms. you know, or your presidents of the United States. I think they use two strings.
Gotta have everything
on their guitars, you know. So I thought it was really interesting that that happened, where they basically, you know, it was. I was just sitting there going, here, I was blown away by the fact that he like made sure to say Kiss in their very limited ability. Basically, I was like, what is that? You know what I mean?
I don't think it has anything to do with limited ability, because all these guys are talented. But Lee, I'll ask you a question, okay? If somebody asks you, tell me something about, or explain Steve Harris in one word, bass player-wise, or his personality-wise, maybe not, doesn't have to be in one word, how would you explain Steve Harris?
Ooh. He seems really shy as a person, but on stage, yeah, he's a freaking beast.
And his music ability, or his songwriting ability, is amazing.
I mean, the words, where does he come up with? It's a history lesson. Like, right. It's unbelievable.
But think about Gene. You have to get past the demon. Mm-hmm. You got to get past all the supposedly women he bedded. You got to get past the TV show. You got to get past the personality. And then you finally get to his bass playing. That's what I'm talking about. It's not. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is. And he beefs stuff up live. I mean, it's.
That's right. It's amazing. The problem is Saul hidden by the demon.
True.
Because all people see is the demon.
Yeah. Right.
Unless you're one that, like me, that learned all of it, it's really involved. I mean, it's really great stuff. And when he beefs it up, it's really great.
But like, here's a good example of like, you know, not necessarily disrespect, I guess, but like there, I guess, some magazine just put out their top 100 rock singers or something like that. And Paul Stanley was like third in the 30s. Hmm. Number one was Mick Jagger. Does he sing? When I think of Mick Jagger, let me get this straight. Make sure. I don't mind the Rolling Stones. I like the Rolling Stones, but I don't think of him as a singer. I always think he's more talking.
Entertainer, more.
He's talking his lines, you know? I never really think of, you know, him being able to sing. I guess it's, you know, it's like a rapper. I don't consider a singer. I consider them a rapper. But
that same writer couldn't name three Paul Stanley songs, probably. Right. They go, oh, that's a guy from Kiss, right? So
Rock and Roll All Night.
That's not Paul Stanley.
Yeah, that's all he knows.
Right? But he can name three Rolling Stones songs. That's the difference. Same thing. Mick Jagger. What do you think about? He's singer of the Rolling Stones. Paul, what do you think about? Oh, he's the star guy on Kiss. Like, it doesn't even go to singer first.
Yeah.
So the brand is kind of worked against them almost. And we all know, right? They go from, okay, we're going to make it to the gimmick plus the music works, to the live experience works, to merchandising, to Kitty Kiss. Right? Like, it all happened so fast. The kiddies were never at the Zeppelin concert. Just like there's no women at a Mr. Big concert. Same thing.
Hey, no. I was there. I got in the ladies' room real quick.
Yeah,
just like the Iron Maiden show. Just like I scroll right in.
Just like when I went and saw the New Kids on the Block.
Yeah, you had to wait a while for you didn't. Yeah, you got to stroll right in the men's room.
They didn't have any men's rooms. They put ladies over the men's sign.
Stop it!
I'm not even joking. That was in Gwinnett. I took somebody to see
them.
I was one of maybe eight guys, and there was nothing but like 20-something hot women everywhere. It was like,
and what were you doing there, Joe?
I took a friend.
Okay.
We all
buy that. It was for a friend.
It was true.
Okay.
Anyway,
why don't you just admit it? You went.
I'll tell you this though. Hey, listen, I'm not going to say I didn't like it, but I didn't go for myself. But I will tell you this. The person that opened that show, I remember about, I had another friend that was there, and she told me that she went. And about a month later, she told me, Hey, do you remember who opened for the New Kids on the Block? And I was like, yeah, I'm hearing her everywhere. And it was Lady Gaga.
Oh, there you go again.
Yep. And I was like, hey, good music is good music. Sonny's mic looks like King Tut Chin Beard. Oh!
King Tut Chin Beard. <It's> like... Interesting.
It definitely was. So here's the thing. Look at Mick Murphy's thing here. Gene's bass playing on Dress to Kill should end all discussions of his ability. His groove and vibe is so damn good. Yep. He covers Meat and Bones, Rolling Stones sound to Skinner grooves. Now,
he's very underrated.
So Lee has learned a lot of that stuff because she was in a, by the way, if you go on eBay right now, you could buy a picture of Lee in full makeup in autograph.
Like 2005, I think.
So for like, how much was it?
Who's selling them?
I don't even know. And then there was one of the full band, Black Diamond, too.
Why aren't you selling them? Why is somebody else selling them?
Because I signed it back then and they probably went in their garage and found them or something. I don't know.
It even said so just to fill you guys in, Lee, I guess Lee was in an all-girl, the first all-ladies Kiss tribute band. And she, you know, they did promo pictures and Lee found one. Did you find it or did somebody tell you?
Someone sent them to me.
So basically somebody is selling a picture of Lee in the demon makeup, autographed by Lee, and it's going for like, I don't know, $60.
Yeah, and then there's the full band one.
There's a full band one that's going for $100, and I told her, if either of these sell, you're signing everything. We're putting it all on eBay. We're going to make some money.
It's not going to sell. I'm sorry. Maybe. No. If you buy it, Joe, maybe.
Well, there you go. I remember somebody sent me a message one time that there was a Podcast Rock City pin on eBay, and it said Kiss pin, and I was like, they didn't read that very well. But
I was waiting for that to sell because I got three right there. I was going to say.
Once in a while, I'll see the Black Diamond guitar pick set on eBay. We had a set of picks.
Hey, Sven, put up Rory Erickson's comment right there. Kiss are technical geniuses compared to most pop music, which is so repetitive and bland. I think a lot were just jealous of their success. Now, that's a nice little subject that we could talk about in depth another time. But the truth is that you still do get people that like, even, you know, people that were around back when they were around, you know, that basically dog Kiss for too much marketing and blah, blah, blah. But the truth is just like Kiss has always said, if they could have done it, they would have.
Of course.
Somebody asked why do you think Kiss was never, invited to Saturday Night Live in the 70s? I'll tell you why. Because if Saturday Night Live has a chance to get the Eagles or Kiss, who do you think they were going to go get? If they got a chance to get Diana Ross or Kiss, what do you think they're going to go get? They want the Village People. They don't want Kiss.
All right, so this is what I could tell you guys. I read something somewhere that they're actually banned from Saturday Night Live for something that happened outside of Saturday Night Live. So Sonny, do you think that radio play would have helped Kiss's sales?
Yeah, I mean, 70s, the 70s kids grew up in radio.
All we had was radio.
Yeah, and you could say that they are not a platinum-selling band in the 80s if it's not for MTV either, right? Paul's looks and the music helped. Mm-hmm. Paul's looks are perfect for the 80s. Oh, the guy
He fit right in. He fit right in. Just flew right into it.
Yeah, yeah. Gene looked...
It was made for him.
Yeah, Gene probably felt a little awkward. Until he gets really closer to Hot in the Shade. He feels more comfortable when he gets there. But Paul was made for the 80s. There's absolutely no doubt. Yeah.
Oh, yes. I agree.
But radio, you don't see anything in radio.
Well, you would have saw it in the 70s.
They had a few TV shows they were on, you know.
Yeah.
But now, what about in the 80s? So Kiss Records, did they ever sell in the 80s like they did in the 70s?
They got, I think Smashes is one of their best-selling albums, isn't it?
Right. Do you think that had to do
MTV.
MTV?
Because the tour, I mean, if you think about it, Crazy Nights, Hot in the Shade, they were having a hard time selling 7,000 seats.
That's true.
And they would take out shows. And they remember, they took out Great White and Slaughter and couldn't sell 7,000 seats.
Yep. I had to go by myself because no one would go with me.
Yeah. The other problem is Kiss hasn't went back after, I don't think they've done it since probably the late 80s. They haven't went back and had the RIAA recertify all the albums. Because my guess is they probably have some that are in the 3, 4, 5 million range, and we just don't know it. Because you have to pay to get that done.
They ain't paying for that.
No.
Gene ain't paying for that.
No. Because it doesn't get you nothing.
Right.
Right. Whatever that was going to get you, you already got.
That's an interesting comment right there. No more rock magazines has killed music.
Oh, I loved my magazines.
I don't know. I will tell you, Chris, I don't disagree because of the pictures and the discovery, and you get to hook up to a band early in life and blah, blah, blah. But I'll tell you, Spotify is the new rock magazine for me. I go to Spotify, and you don't know how many times during the week people will send me stuff saying, hey, check out this band, check out that band, check out my band. I send something back. You sure you want me to let you know what your band sounds like? Because I will tell you like it is. Mm-hmm. I will tell you the good and the bad. Can you take that? Right? So I use Spotify for all of that.
Well, the internet definitely ruined all the rock mags and, you know.
People, it ruined magazines.
Put out one song and they stream one song and that's what everybody bought. It's just so different. Get off my lawn, by the way.
So Lewis is asking, can we do an episode on the Kiss Symphony? I will tell you that we've done audio ones, but I'm sure we're going to do one about the video eventually. All right. So listen, that was the show for the day. I mean, what did we accomplish? We learned a lot here, actually. I mean, I'm going to tell you what the interesting thing was. We really discussed Kiss's success and or lack thereof, or not lack thereof, or could it have been more, or you know what I'm saying? If they didn't have the makeup, we all basically, I'm not sure if Lee agreed, but I think she did, that the band would not have done what they wouldn't have been as popular as,
well, the gimmick, of course,
the gimmick was what really sold them
big.
Because the music, although I love it,
again, I love the music,
hate mail, I love the, Would it have competed with Sabbath, Zeppelin, the Eagles, if there's no face paint?
Possibly. I thought it was amazing. Like, I just did. I just do.
I just don't know. I don't know if they get enough attention.
We'll never know. We'll never know.
We'll never know.
We'll never know. Okay, so you guys that are watching right now, and you guys that are listening on iTunes, we are about to go. We're going to end this show. We're going to go, and we're going to do an extra show that'll be on our Spotify. Now, listen, once again, it doesn't cost you anything to try Spotify for a week and be on our be on our channel.
Patreon.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, we're on Spotify too, though, aren't we?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Patreon. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So Patreon, go to the Patreon, join it. Like I said, it's free for the first 7 days and check it out and see what we're going to put in there. You can look at what we have to offer with extra content and maybe you'll like it. It'll be cool. And, Sonny, do you have anything to add?
Thanks for listening. And, somebody said, yeah, if I don't like your CD, I will burn it. If I don't like your music, I'll burn it to CD and throw it out the window in 680. Yes, that is correct.
Wow.
Just to do it. I still have some CDRs. You got CDRs? I still got some.
I recently found a bunch of DVDRs for because I used to like...
nice.
Yeah, I used to take my VHSs and like connect them together and burn... Yeah, anyway. Lee, do you have anything to add?
No, lots of fun as usual, and I missed you guys.
We missed you. It's very it's very awesome to have you back. And Sonny would rather look at you than Joey anyway.
Oh, hell yes. Yes.
I know it's true. I know it's true.
I'd rather look at Saxon than look at Joey, and I hate Saxon.
Do
Yikes.
Yo.
You guys know what I'm going to say. We love KISS, and we love KISS podcasts, most of them anyway. And you're going to hear the commercials for all the ones right after this. In hey, Sven, good job today. 3, 2, 1, peace. Peace.
Thank you, and goodbye.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. Have you heard of the Click Tees shop yet? These t-shirts reach into the deepest nostalgia of the hottest band in the world with designs like the Demon's first stage shirt, the Rock Skull, the Spaceman's very first stage shirt, Eagle Wings, the Catman's Cadillac Michigan jacket, the Black Cat, the Phantom of the Park Talisman, and a wide array of Eric Carr tees. With over 30 killer designs, these t-shirts dive so deep, they're like opening a private vault of rare classic material. Click Tees is not exactly all tees. They also have products like mugs, hats, necklaces, pillows, socks, stickers, and guitar picks. Podcast Rock City is happy to announce that we have partnered with Click Tee Shop, and we are now selling our merchandise there too. Buy some merchandise and let everyone know you're a fan of our show. Go to clickteeshop.com, that's click with a K, to check out all the great stuff to choose from.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the KISS Room. The KISS Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. KISS! It's your place for all things KISS and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The KISS Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael.
It's Sonny Hollywood Pooney, and we are from the Growing Up Rock Podcast.
Come check out the Growing Up Rock Podcast, where each and every week we talk to rock stars past and present and come up with some fun themes all to the beat of some killer hard rock and metal music.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also check out our episodes, concert reviews, and album reviews at growinguprock.com.
That's growinguprock.com. GROWINUPROCK.com.
Growing Up Rock.
Turn it up.
Hey everybody, this is Jody Havnot. I want to invite you to come hang out with me and Mr. Nate Dimmel in the Dummy Room. The Dummy Room is a podcast that's all about having fun, talking about some great music, and we also have some really cool guests too. Check us out, man. I think you really dig it.
No gratitude need be voiced. Your mind speaks to us.